I am Linda von Tolberg, and today I have Sam Hopwood from Sable International with me. He is the Australian immigration specialist, and we would love to catch up with him. What's possible in terms of Australian immigration? Hi, Sam. Welcome to BizNews.
Hi, Linda. Thanks for having me.
Well, the rules seem to keep on changing. What is the present situation?
Yeah, that's true, Linda. The one constant in this industry is change. And certainly we have a lot of change afoot here in Australia with our immigration policies. And it's been on the change for the past year or more. And we anticipate more changes in the near future. The immigration minister came out last year and said that she was going to totally revolutionise our immigration system. And we've seen small tweaks here and there throughout the system in the past 12 months, most of them beneficial towards migrants, I must say. And we're expecting between now and the end of 2024 to see a lot of new big changes. And those changes are going to relate to employer-sponsored visas and to general skilled migration. And essentially, those are the two categories that the government use to address skill shortages here in Australia. And they're going to be changing the system and tinkering with it and tweaking it. And overall, they're trying to make it more beneficial for Australia as a whole. Some of these changes will not be of benefit to some migrants, and some of these changes will be benefit to other migrants. And I think that's probably where we'll try and focus our attention tonight and talk about the winners and the losers, I guess, in the big scheme of things.
Yeah, well, okay, let's go for winners, because then, you know, that might open avenues for South Africans who might be considering it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's start with employer-sponsored visas. So one of the big changes that the government made last year was to try and level the playing field, as they called it, and that was to address some inequities in the system that meant that some migrants who came here on work visas were not eligible for permanent residency. And those were people who were working in occupations which were on a short-term list against those migrants who came on occupations that were on a long-term list. And so changes have been made to try and level the playing field so that all migrants who come on working visas, the 482 visas specifically, will now have pathways to permanent residency. So as an example, if you were a mechanical engineering technician, previously you were on a short-term list that did not have an avenue or pathway to permanent residency. But if you were a mechanical engineer, then you're on the long-term list and you had a pathway. So the government have made those changes, and they're very favourable changes, and I applaud the government for making those changes, which means that if you come to Australia on either of those two occupations now, you will be playing under the same rules, which state that you need to come to Australia, live and work here on a 482 visa for 2 years, and now you can get permanent residency, whereas previously it was possible for some, but not for others. So those are really good changes. All I can see is winners in that particular cohort of applicants. So that's good news. But the government's got more changes afoot, and they're going to scrap what we currently refer to as the 482 visa. So this is the visa that is used by most employers here in Australia to bring overseas skills to Australia. And the government's going to get rid of it and call it something else. And we're going to work under a new system. And it's going to be a three-tiered system. So they're basically going to split the skills into three different tiers, T1, T2, T3. And the top tier will be those people with special skills aimed at people who are earning over $135,000 a year here in Australia. They're going to put these people at the top of the list. They're going to process them quickly, within 7 days, they say. How they're going to do that, I don't know, but they say they're going to do it within 7 days. So we'll wait and see about that one. The second tier is core skills. These are for individuals earning at least 70,000 Australian dollars, and it will probably be the largest of the total group. And then the last tier will be essential skills, and those people who are probably working in less highly skilled jobs, but still jobs which are important to our economy. And each of the tiers will be addressed differently in policy and in law, and you'll need to achieve different criteria for each of these tiers. So at the moment, all we have is announcements. So the government have announced things. So we haven't seen any law yet. We haven't seen any policy yet. We've just seen a lot of announcements as to what they intend to do to the system. When these changes will come into effect, we don't know exactly, but they said that they will be phasing them in between now and the end of 2024. So we are waiting with bated breath.
So, is this, and normally there's a list of preferred skills. So are there any kind of jobs that, well, it seems you have to earn quite a high salary. So that could be the more professional jobs. Are they more favoured?
So as of this point, we don't have a specific list. The list is currently under consultation. And there's been a lot written about the consultation at this point in time because some occupations on the list within the consultation process have been earmarked for removal from the list. And this is causing quite a bit of drama here in Australia because there's a number of occupations on the list which have been earmarked for removal, which are in high demand, and everyone is shaking their head saying, how could you possibly remove that occupation from the list? Whilst other occupations have been left on the list or have been earmarked for in high demand. And I think the government's got a lot of work to do to get their list correct. They have said that in the top tier, for those earning over $135,000, there will be no specific list. So you could be of any occupation. As long as you're not in a trade, they say that you could be working in any particular occupation. And if you have an offer of employment from a sponsor here in Australia, then if it's over $135,000, then it will be considered as a serious occupation, regardless of whether or not the occupation is specified on the list. And that's probably a reflection of how outdated the list is. And the list at the moment doesn't encompass a lot of new occupations. And there's a lot of new occupations that are in digital and IT, which are at the cutting edge of technology, and our occupation lists aren't necessarily up to date with those particular occupations. So I think that's a reflection of the government's thinking that they don't know what they don't know, and they are of the opinion that, if you're working in a highly paid occupation, then whether or not they have you on the list shouldn't really matter, which is probably a good thing. It's probably wise of them to take that approach.
And you said so there are some losers. So what is not on the list anymore?
Yeah, what is not on the list anymore? Well, some occupations have been earmarked for removal from the list, like, for example, restaurant managers or even cooks. Here in Australia, we have a huge shortage of people who work in the hospitality industry. And if you run a restaurant or a cafe here in Australia, the labour market is such that, you know, you're struggling to find people to work in your business as a restaurant manager or as a cook or as a chef. And those occupations have been earmarked for removal. There's been consultation, there's been submissions to government, and people are jumping up and down and saying, please don't remove these occupations from the list. So again, we don't know whether or not the government's going to carry on through with their intentions and with what has been earmarked on the list. If those occupations are removed, then the losers will definitely be those industries specifically, people who work in the industry, people who own businesses in the industry, and they will suffer. I can see you shaking your head. We're all shaking our head as well, saying, surely no. But sometimes it's a matter of process, and the government needs to go through their process and their consultation to find out, you know, which parts of the industry, will jump up and down enough to shake the tree, find out what falls out of it, and to ensure that they remain on the list. So we wait with bated breath. So that's the employer-sponsored route, three different tiers. And like I say, at this stage, we don't know too much because those lists are yet to be published. The other section of our migration system is what we refer to as general skill migration.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been a great servant to Australia over the course of a number of different years to provide skilled labour to Australia in a number of different occupations. And this is where the federal government, build their own lists and they determine who is in demand and who is not in demand. And it's been studied by very clever people over a long period of time, and they have determined that the skilled occupation system for Australia has not delivered as they had hoped. And we have examples, a lot of examples, of very highly qualified and skilled people migrating to Australia who may be, have PhDs and, great experience overseas. They come to Australia and they end up driving Ubers. So this is where the system is failing. And the government are aware that this system has not worked to its best benefit to Australia. And they're looking to address the system. So general skill migration works on a points-based system. You score points at the moment in accordance with your age, your occupation, your academic qualifications, your work experience. The system cuts off at the age of 45, as we currently know it. And basically, we have a problem in Australia whereby we have an aging population and we need more younger people who are going to provide to the tax base so the federal government can collect more taxes over a longer period of time. So we believe, and this is when I say we as an industry who work in the industry, believe that the changes which will be made to the point system will probably benefit people who are younger and who have greater possibilities and prospects of employment here in Australia. We don't want people with PhDs coming to Australia and driving Ubers. That is not of great benefit to Australia. So we believe that they will probably change the system and gear it more greatly towards younger people and people who have work experience in their occupation and who perhaps have an offer of employment here in Australia, or who might be here in Australia already on a temporary visa and who are working in their occupation. There's been studies done, and those studies have told us that good migrants are those migrants who are here in Australia and who are working in their occupation, in an occupation they have gained qualifications for either here in Australia or overseas. And they have an employer who is benefiting from their skills. So again, we don't know how they're going to tweak the system, but it's probable that they will place a greater emphasis on those people who, like I say, either have an offer of employment in Australia or already here and working in their occupation.
Sure. A lot of changes coming. Is there any deadline for it? Because you also in an election year, as basically the rest of the planet.
Yes, it's interesting, isn't it, that we are coming towards an election in the next 12 months and the immigration policies are used by governments the world over to argue, why they should and shouldn't be returned to government based on their immigration policies. And we have a problem here in Australia that we don't have enough housing. We have a great landmass, but we don't have enough people to house people here in Australia. So people think we have a migration problem, as in we have too many people, but we don't actually have too many people. We just don't have enough houses. And that puts a lot of stress on the system. So the rental market here in Australia is very expensive. And the government must be seen to be doing something to address those problems. And the news tells us that the problem is the migrants, but the problem is actually the housing system. So, if you look at the UK, if you look at the US, if you look at Australia and New Zealand, parts of the developed world who rely on skilled migration to Australia, they are coming to elections, which they will argue will be based a lot on their immigration policies. And Australia is no different. And certainly our current federal government are making the argument that they are trying to streamline the immigration system to better benefit for Australia so that we get the skills that we need without overpopulating Australia with causing more issues to our housing market and other infrastructure problems that we have. Look, it is a political football and both teams kick it back and forth. I'm perhaps somewhat cynical about what their intentions are and how they will best deliver to Australia. But if we're to believe the immigration minister, then We're looking at a new system which will deliver less people with more skills who are more targeted towards the industries and occupations which are in high demand. The Immigration Minister has talked about certain aspects of the point system which they wish to address. The age of people is one thing. I think they will gear the system to people who are younger. They will gear the system to people who have a higher English language competency, people with higher education, and people who have experience in their occupation working here in Australia. So, yeah, it's, for me, it sounds more of the same. We've heard it all before. But like I say, that's the cynic in me coming out. I hope the system and the changes that we see in the system do benefit Australia in the long term. If you're a migrant, though, and you're looking to come to Australia, you're all asking me this question, well, Sam, what can we do? What can we do now to make ourselves a better prospect for Australia, so the likelihood is of us getting a visa to come and live and work in Australia? Mm-hmm. And I tell all my clients that the best thing you can do is to try and find a sponsor here in Australia who wants to employ you. That is a fairly well-defined pathway into Australia, to find a sponsor who wants to employ you, because it demonstrates to the government that you are in demand, because you have a sponsor, you have an employer here in Australia who is willing to go through the administrative process to spend money to bring you here to Australia. So if you're overseas and you work in a skilled occupation, then get onto the internet and scour the job sites, all the websites, make applications to sponsors, to employers here in Australia. And you'll find that if you're working in an occupation which is in demand in Australia, they will probably be quite receptive to you. We do a lot of migration into Australia for diesel mechanics, for example. And people might sort of be surprised at the fact that we need a lot of diesel mechanics. We have a lot of mines. We build a lot of roads. We have a lot of big infrastructure projects, and all these projects require big machinery, and these big machinery require skilled diesel mechanics. You're in high demand in Australia. And we're seeing a lot of these people from overseas, from South Africa and other parts of the world, get snapped up if you're a skilled diesel mechanic. So there's just one example.
Well, a funny one that came up in the last couple of weeks is the Australian Defence Force now allows recruits from foreign countries. Is that a way to come and join the army?
Well, yeah, that's a funny one, Linda, and it's a very recent one. Government just announced that in the last few days that they're going to open pathways to people who wish to come and join the Defence Force here in Australia. I think we can read into that not a lot of people, or not enough people here in Australia, wish to join the Defence Force. So they're looking to recruit from overseas. We've seen similar recruitment drives from other government departments, like the police force, for example. The police force in Australia, in different states and territories over the course of time, have taken it upon themselves to go overseas to recruit police officers to bring to Australia. So when government identifies those occupations, those demands, those industries, and they put them, you know, on lists, and they put them at the top of their announcements, then yeah, you can take some confidence from the fact that that is an occupation or an industry that you are probably going to be successful in if you follow through.
Well, so such interesting. Sam Hobwood from Sable International, thank you so much.
Linda, it's a pleasure, always. Thank you.